Everybody, I want you to catch this in your spirits, that we serve a big God. We serve a big God. And that same God is our Father. Which means we're not servants and slaves to Him. We are sons and daughters. Which means we have access to what He has access to. I want to say that again. The same access that He has, we have. Your son, your two daughters, when they were coming up, you would tell them to get out of your room. Wouldn't they practically ignore you? It's like they would come in your room, you'd tell them to get out, and then they'll wake up somewhere along the way, on the way between out and their thought, and they come running back like it was their room. And there's something innate in all children who really belong to their parents that says, what is yours belong to me. And many times we want to go to the cross when Jesus never told us to meet Him at the cross. He said, come to the throne boldly. And many times we come to a place where we don't want to come boldly because we think we're not worth it. We think we're not worthy. And we think we're little slaves and ants crawling on the ground. So we never grow up. And we always wait for a moment where we can get high in God, like He's a crack cocaine pipe. And we don't come for high moments. We come for instructive moments. You come before a Father who has all the instructions, and you get instruction from Him at that moment. You don't come to just come for the glory moments. Actually, we do, but we misdefine the glory moments. We call them high moments. There's just moments where we just bask in His presence. But His presence is supposed to teach us something. Amen?
Amen.
And when we come into these environments, they're so crucial to us that we don't leave out losing anything. You understand? It is so important that we don't lose a moment. And how many, the older I get, the more I am determined. I don't have a lot of time to waste. I just don't have a lot of time. It seemed like the older I get, time just keeps speeding up. You know, when I was like 12, I couldn't wait till I was 16, and you know, so I can drive. And it seemed like 16 would never come. And then, you know, 21, so I can do something else. And then 21 seemed like it never came. But as soon as you get like 23, 25, all of a sudden you'd be like, slow down. You understand? And now I'm at a place right now where I'm like, boy, all these gray hair in my face. And, you know, you start feeling little things in your bones that you never felt before, that you could ignore before and just roll over. And now time is very important to me. And so these times are very, very important. And it's very important to take full advantage of every moment that you're in the presence of God and in the presence of His son or daughter who gives you His instruction. Amen?
Amen?
And that's what I feel. I feel like there is something very special in the room tonight. I feel His presence in a very unique way. Somebody, you don't even realize you got healed. You really did get healed. You don't feel the pain that you felt when you came in here with. You really did. Just a few minutes ago, you got healed. And I'm serious. If you raise your hand, you can prove it. Show so that somebody else can believe it. That you know, you were in pain, and now you're not in pain, right? What was wrong with you? Your neck?
I had a spasm in my neck for the last 3 days.
For the last 3 days? And you got healed right in this moment, right?
This moment.
See, these things happen. These things happen, and so we've got to be attentive. Not only that, though, but there's someone in here who needs an answer. I mean, you really need an answer. There's somebody who didn't come tonight who needs an answer. And they're going to be mad that they didn't be faithful. You understand? And so that's where we are tonight. And just one more time, I want you to take advantage of a moment. We'll take another 30, 40 seconds. and just Leon, you play with it, play the guitar or whatever, and just begin to just right now, just in your own way. You know, don't feel the instruction. Just go for it. Just like right here, whatever you feel to release to God from the most sincere place of your person, release that, okay? Just for, let's say, a good 1 minute, 60 seconds, and just open up your mouth and just release it. You want to raise your hands, raise your hands. If you don't, that's fine. Just let it go. Just let things go. For the Lord will give you instruction tonight. It will put us on a new path. Amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Everybody say, God, give us divine instructions. Say this, say, we will hear you.
We will hear you.
We will obey you.
We will obey you.
We will submit.
We will submit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was it. He said, divine instruction will come to you today. You may be seated. Everybody say, divine instruction.
Divine instruction.
You do understand what divine instruction is. That's instruction from heaven, God himself. Amen. I'm excited about it. I was waiting on that. You stick around. Don't leave me. Get a chair. Everybody, I want to do this before I get going because I'm very honored to be here again with you guys. You're just great people. I love you, and I thank God for you. I was here in November last year and with Leon, and we did the meeting here, and it was a tremendous time to be here, a tremendous atmosphere. And I want you to know I appreciate you. However, I will also want you to join with me to thank God for your wonderful. I love this man and woman of God. Love your pastors. They are tremendous. I mean it. Now, I know I'm going to embarrass you for a second, okay? So don't get mad at me, okay? Please don't get mad at me. But I can do this because I get to go home tomorrow, and you don't have to get mad at me. Pastor will have to fix it. But y'all know what? The church on the North Coast East, they outdid y'all just now. Let's try it again. I thank God for your pastor, Pastor Lewis, his lovely wife, Kayati. Amen. Amen. I want to say something. Don't you ever take for granted whatever the Lord has given you. Please hear me. Don't take for granted what the Lord has graced you with. You will be sorry when you take his gifts for granted. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. You will not be happy when you find out what you miss when you take his gifts for granted. Amen? Because you will miss out on a whole lot of other things. And the sad part about it is you'll see someone else progressing in that. And then you'll say, oh, my goodness. And then either one of two actions will happen. You'll feel like you lost it, or you'll feel jealous of those who get the other because you'll think they get more than you when all of it was available to you. So don't miss those moments. How many of you ever felt taken advantage of? Let me try it again, because y'all acting like all shy and stuff. How many of y'all felt taken advantage of? Yeah, the majority and everybody else is just not telling the truth. All right? Uh-huh. And so when these moments happen, didn't it bother you? Did it stop you from being effective and wonderful? No, it might have hurt your feelings, but you went on ahead and kept on going until somebody appreciated you, right? And here's the season that we're in. We're not in the season of toleration. We're in the season of appreciation. You must be appreciated in this hour. You hear me? God is opening us doors that where we can be appreciated and just not tolerated. Some of you are going to get new job positions because you're just not appreciated in that area. So God is not going to allow you to be continue to be tolerated and when you're supposed to be appreciated. Amen?
Amen.
How many of y'all received that?
Amen.
Amen. But don't, this is my main point. That was a word for you, but here's my main point. Don't miss it, because Pastor Louis Kayenton and his lovely wife and family are a gift from God.
Amen.
They're a gift from God. Yes, you are. They are a tremendous gift. He is one rare man. It's hard for me to see him past 50 years old because his level of intellect and revelation and just relevance of the word is so powerful. And, you know, many who pass certain ages like that, it's hard for them to keep up. You understand what I'm saying? No, for real. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm telling you the truth. It's hard for them to keep up when they're leading people, because especially when they had moments of glory in the past, especially when they had big moments before. And then when you have to transition into a new place, it's a very difficult thing sometimes. And I see him making every shift and every transition. The only thing is the body. And whenever you're shifting, the whole body has to move. You know why marriages are splitting apart now? It's not just because of sex. It's not just because of money anymore. Those are the two top reasons. But the biggest thing is because both people don't move together. They won't move together. And so before they know it, they have split so far apart until it's like we have nothing in common. There's no reason for us to be together. Now, that's the devil, you know, of course. But, you know, that's what happens. People just get split in their personality. They go two separate ways and they don't want to even be together no more. How is that somebody 30 years old can be 30 years of marriage can then decide? It's not like they have a whole bunch of energy, you know. You've been together 30 something years, you know, it's not like you get, you know. You know, what was Abraham and Sarah going to do? You know, who else was they go date? You understand? Just don't make sense. Abraham talking about, I'm tired of you. And he needs Viagra. You know, what is that? And it's like, just because everybody's split apart and your mentality's going separate ways, when God just wants you to stay and make every shift together. Do this, like this. Put your hands together. Now we're going to go to my right, your left, okay? Let's shift together. Did you feel that? Somebody said no. You didn't feel it? You did it. You should have felt it. Your arms are not numb, okay? Come on, let's do it again. Let's watch this. Shh. Now, be real quiet. You'll almost hear it if you really pay attention and be sensitive. Let's go. You feel that? Everybody, when we move together, we grow together. When we fight movement, there's disaster. Amen? Amen. So I just want to honor them. I just think that they're worthy of honor. I am on a whole set of my new mindset. Every time I found somebody to honor, God found somebody to honor me. Say it again. Every time I found someone to honor, God found somebody to honor me. And they always honored me better than I honored the other person. Then I had to outdo myself. I'm not going to be outdone. I'm going to find somebody to honor, because there is a revelation in honor that if when you find some... Pastor, he's here today because they found somebody to honor. They found somebody to sow into. They found somebody to pull from, to sit at somebody's feet. You understand? And every time that happens, every single time, God always properly positions you to have that same thing happen to you, but it comes multiplied. Okay. Let's go into the scripture. Maybe y'all are like me now. I was praying all day and just... well, you know, not like, I don't want you to think I was just laid out on the floor praying. But I was in prayer in my person and just seeking God to give me instruction as to which way I should go tonight. And, you know, sometimes I know exactly where to go. Sometimes I don't know exactly where to go. And I have to be sensitive and wait for God to lead me in that direction. Sometimes I have to wait and just show up. And he does. He leads me every single time. When I got into the room, the Lord told me what he wanted me to deal with tonight. And I want to go ahead and deal with this. This is going to be called the unity factor. Everybody say the unity factor.
Unity.
Everybody say it again.
Unity.
The unity factor. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, okay? And just kind of want to touch on this real quick and let you see some things. This is going to really be powerful in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, and then you can prepare back there for 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Are you all there? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some what? Let's read together. And he gave some to be, and some, and some, and, let's read, keep going. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I need you to see this. He says for the equipping. The King James, I believe, says for the perfecting. For the perfecting. Heads up. Look at me one second. When he says for the perfecting, he doesn't mean like to perfect like we know perfect. It means the maturing, the maturation, to mature the body of Christ. Okay? For the saints, rather. So for the equipping or for the maturation. Everybody say the maturation. Now look at me, everybody. You know good and well that maturity is an issue. Amen? I don't care how old you get, you are always maturing. Amen? And when you stop maturing, you become stubborn. Right? Once the moment you give, you say, I will not go no further, I'm set in my ways, that means you have become stubborn. Amen? So he wants us to mature. Say mature.
Mature.
For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of what?
Body of Christ.
The body of Christ. Next verse. Till. Everybody say till.
Till.
This word fascinates me. Keep this word in mind, okay? Till we, how many?
All.
Till we all come where?
Unity.
To the unity of the faith. He didn't say to the unity of the doctrine. To the unity of the faith. Everybody say the unity of the faith. See, doctrines mature because revelation causes doctrine to update itself. Hear me. So when you have a doctrine, it might be from here, but as it updates, same doctrine, it updates itself so that it fits you where you are today. Are you catching this? Years ago, we had Holiness Church. Y'all familiar with the Holiness Church? The Pentecostal church. Well, when they called holiness, what did they mean holiness? They meant that you couldn't look worth a nickel. It meant that you had to wear a dress, ladies, way down to here, and a turtleneck in the summer, so that you don't show no cleavage. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. And then it also said that you couldn't do much to your hair because the Bible. When taken out of context, it means you can't braid your hair and you can't look pretty. So when a pretty woman walked in church like your pastor's wife, guess what happened? You call her a Jezebel. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so that happened back then. It was because we all had a bad taste or bad understanding of the doctrine. So the doctrine had to be updated. Now we understand that you can come in, you can wear jeans to church and you don't have to wear a suit. And God will still move on your life and you're not going to hell. Now you don't have to drive 100 miles an hour to go home, change clothes, so that you can be here at Wednesday night, Thursday night service. Correct? You can wear your scrubs from work. Come on in. Lay out on the in the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
See? Update. Everybody say update.
Update.
Your phone has, if you have a modern phone, your phone updates itself every time it feels like it. Whenever they do something at the company, they send an update. And if you have automatic update on your phone, you can be asleep and wake up to an updated phone. Correct? So why is it that we are always behind in the body of Christ? We don't like updates. We like to stay where we were. And if you don't stay where we were, you are out of God's will. God ain't where you were. Why do you want you to stay where you are? And everybody else, when God ain't even there? Am I speaking bad? Okay, I'll say it. God isn't even there. Hey, Louis. I didn't know you were here. And so, it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith, meaning being united in faith, okay? And of the knowledge of what? The Son of God. I need you to look at me. When it says the knowledge of the Son of God, it's just not talking about Jesus. Hear this. It's talking about the Son of God. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, hey, Son of God. This time, will everybody do it instead of looking at me? Look at your neighbor and say, hey, Son of God. I'm going to keep on digging until I get 100% out of y'all. Y'all going to help me tonight, okay? You ready? And then it says, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's go. Next verse. That we should be no longer children, what? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Go next verse. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. Ah, that's the part. That's the part right there. Stop for a minute. I know some of y'all been waiting on this opportunity a long time. You can cross the aisles and say this. Tell your neighbor, say, grow up. I know some of y'all been waiting on that a long time. You just been trying to be nice in church. But look at somebody else and say, because the preacher told you to do it. Look at them and say, grow up. That we may grow up in how many things? In all things. And to him who is the head, Christ. Everybody say, in him who is the head. Who?
Christ.
I need you to catch this. It didn't say Jesus. It said Christ. It was the stuff. Christ is the stuff that made Jesus God. Christ is the stuff that made Jesus King of Kings. Christ is the oil, the ointment that set Jesus apart to make him the Son of God. Catch it? Christ is the stuff that you need to set you apart to become the Son of God. And I know this sounds crazy, but and you say, well, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. But let's look at the scripture. Y'all know the scriptures. I know because you belong to CNC. Okay? And now watch this. The one scripture says he is the only begotten Son of God. But when you begin to get an update and as things grow up inside of you, you find out that Jesus, the Bible says of him, he is the firstborn of many brethren. You remember this? And then another verse says Jesus was talking and he says, now are you the sons of God? And it does not yet appear. Scripture says this. Now are you the sons of God? Everybody say, I am the Son of God. Uh-huh. You know what? The disciples were only disciples for 3.5 years. I said this last night. They were only disciples for 3.5 years. You know why? Because they grew up. In 3.5 years, they grew up from being disciples, which means disciplined followers, to being apostles, which were the leaders who took the church into the greatest move of God that we've ever been able to start off with. They started the greatest move of God. But something about us, we tend to stay stuck in kid zone. I've seen some old kids. That's what they were. Old kids. They had a number on their life, but they were kids. They were 40, but they were kids. You ever seen a guy or a lady stuck where they were popular at one time? You ever seen that? I mean, they pop out with an afro. You know, I saw this hat today at the store. I was just walking around, and I saw this hat. It was a 70s hat, and it was yellow with the plaid in it, and I really wanted to buy it. You know, I really did. It was just too bright, and I didn't want y'all laughing at me. But, you know, and I saw the guys with the hat tilted over to the side, you know, pimping. Some of y'all don't know about that, okay? But some of y'all do, all right? They stuck in the 70s. They stuck back there. That was their glory moment. They still trying to drive a Cadillac that's big. Don't nobody drive big Cadillacs no more. They just stuck. You understand? Anybody with me? They stuck in those moments, and they never grew up. So they still got an A-track. See, Promise wouldn't know nothing about no A-track. She's only 15. She probably don't even know about a cassette tape. But some of y'all know them that's still trying to get an A-track. And this is what they say. This is what we always say. Watch this. This is what is always said. I remember the good old days. How can they be good when they old? Anybody with me? It's old. Old gets stale. Why are we always happy about the old? You know why? Because that was a place of comfortability. And when you get comfortable, you get lazy. And when you get lazy, you don't want to work for the next phase of your life. You're not interested in the glory of God for today. You enjoying His glory from yesterday. Oh, remember when Dr. Summerall came in? Those were the good old days. He's dead. Great man of God, but he's dead. And he's up there. If I know him, he's in that great cloud of witness in. Would you guys wake up? You understand what I mean? Why do we get stuck? And God already knew we would get stuck. He knew that we would have these issues. You know, I remember, listen to me, honey. I remember when I was in high school, they used to make these shoes called Foti. Foti, F-O-T-I. They were tremendously high quality shoes. But they don't make them anymore. And I thought I would keep this pair of shoes forever because I paid for them when I was in high school. Very expensive shoe. I thought I'd keep it forever. That shoe has been long gone. You know why? Because when it went out of style, I didn't want to stay there. I wanted to go to the next place. Anybody here? All right, let me ask y'all a question. How many of y'all enjoy being where you've been? How many of you really want more? Now that sounds good in church religious terms, religious church terms. I want more, God. I really want more. But when you start really digging into the work aspect of it, to the fact that you might have to change, that the old sheets on your bed might have to come up, that you might have to take some stuff that you put in storage that you thought you would never throw out, and you might have to throw it out in order to get something new in. See, the truth of the matter is, Two things can't occupy the same space at one time. So if you got the old in there, God's new can't get in. Because the old is occupying the space that the new is supposed to have. Am I boring you? Everybody say, let's change.
Let's change.
God already knew. He knew we would have an issue. He already knew. So, and see, all of this, I want y'all to catch something. There was no need for ministry before Adam messed up. The fivefold ministry at that time, watch this, we call it fivefold, it's the five ministry gifts. The five ministry gifts at that time were, watch this, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. That's what we were gifted with at that time. But when we messed up, we had to come back to an origin place, a place of origin. The original thought of God is what we are now headed back to. Say, hear me? We are being returned back to the original thought of God for our life because, number one, God always gets what he wants. Okay? God never makes mistakes. And even when our choices don't coincide with what God wants, God says, I'll let that generation die. I'll raise up a new generation that wants me. I want to make an announcement. There's a generation that's rising up now that ain't go fall for what the law is sanctioning. The generation ain't going to go for it. It's not going to go for it. No, I'm trying to tell you, holiness is coming to this next set of generations. They go want God like never before. Where we were lazy and we wanted a president, they go want God. God told me that just recently. He said, this next crew, they're different. They're coming with some fire. They're coming with some stuff. They're coming. They're going to start embarrassing. One of the worst things to do is to be in the presence of God, enjoying it, and be lazy, and then somebody else come up and take your place. It's going to be young people, 15, 16, 17, that are going to start being head elders in churches. You know why? Because the elders that should be up, they're not. They're too lazy. They want to just bask in the glory of yesteryear. It's a new generation. Though these next generations are coming up saying, we'll submit. Because we don't like submission. I'm going to tell you, the church today don't like submission. Let me tell you, I know there are three areas. I'm going to get to this in a second, but watch this, these three areas. It's called sacrifice, and what's greater than sacrifice? Obedience. Everybody. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but what's better than obedience? Submission. You know why? Because you can obey me and not like me. You know, it's better than sacrifice because with your sacrifice, you would try to control me. Pastor, you've been doing this a long time, 30-something years. How many times have people challenged you with their money? That if you don't do what they want, they'll pull their money out. That's called sacrifice. That's offering. Okay? But then obedience says, I'll give my offering and I'll do what you say. But that don't mean I agree. And that's one of the groups that we have in our elders and leaders and pastors today. It's like, I just don't really agree with what you're doing right now. I'm just going to be along here for the ride, but I really don't agree. And I don't know why God's got me here, but I'm going to stick it out right now for a minute. But I really don't agree. I don't agree that for this. And then here's one thing that people say a lot of. Well, I've just been assigned to this ministry. I'm your teacher, and you're assigned to me? How about I'm assigned to you? I know this sounds rough. I know everybody wants the preacher to be gentle, but guess what? Gentle has got us in the state we're in today. Watch this. How many times have you gone to school and told your teacher her assignment? Anybody? No, you don't go to school to tell the teacher their assignment. You go to school to receive your assignment, get it done, and bring it back to the teacher. And when you do that, guess what happens? You get a grade for it. You get marks for it. Amen. And then it determines whether you will get promoted. It determines whether you will get promoted. Everybody wants to be promoted, but nobody wants to work. Very tough situation to be in. All right. So God already knew that this would happen. He already knew. So guess what he did? He gave us apostles. Okay. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 real quick. I'm going to show you something, and then I am going to back out, and then we'll let Leon let you fall on the floor again. Okay? Give you some more drugs. Amen. Come on, 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm being silly, so just bear with me. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. All right, let's go to work. It says, and God has appointed these in the church. All right? What has he appointed in the church, everybody?
First apostles.
Second prophets, third teachers. Now, stop right there. I want you to think about that. Okay, let's put them in order. He says first prophets, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Then he says, after this, after that, miracles. I need you to read this in this manner. After you have apostles, prophets, and teachers in place, then you'll see miracles. Then there'll be gifts of healings. Then there'll be helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. All right? First, apostles. Everybody say first.
First.
Apostles. Okay. Everybody hear me. There are no insignificant details in the Bible. Everything is significant. When he says first, he meant apostles come first. The word first here is the word proton. It's a Greek word. It is proton. Everybody say proton.
Proton.
The word proton is where we get the word prototype from. Say prototype.
Prototype.
All right. If you were with us last night, you will hear this again, except for it to be more detailed. However, it says first apostles, protons, prototypes. Prototypes. Now, anybody know what a type prototype is? It's a type before the. It's the proto. It's the thing that comes before the type. You get it? Yes, I know. But it's the thing that comes before the actual. All right? All right? So here it is. There is a prototype called the Chevy Blazer. Okay? First SUV on the streets of America. It was a prototype testing out everything that was to come. Everybody hear me. There was something prepared to come. However, it had to go through a prototype. It had to introduce and colonize our thought. Hear me. There was a colonization of thought. Everybody then wanted to buy. Anybody remember the Chevy Blazer? Even the word blazer is apostle. Watch this. But it had to shape our thought. It had to bring our thought to a new place. Before you get to a new place, your thought must happen first. You have to think and then show up. You can be at a place and not know it's a new place because you think in an old thought and you will act an old way. So the apostolic brings in a new thought. So when the Chevy Blazer came, everybody now saw that you can sit up higher as opposed to sitting low looking over the top of the road. Do you understand what I'm saying? Chevy Blazer was small in comparison to what turned out. What was in the oven couldn't come yet because there had to be a prototype to present and change the thought pattern. You with me? So what happens is the Chevy Blazer comes in, and then all of a sudden, the next one is about, I think, the Jeep Cherokee. The Jeep Cherokee begins to make some things happen. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Now watch this. What was in the making? In the making was the Ford Navigator, or the Lincoln Navigator, the Ford Expedition. It was in thought. It had not been in manifestation because there had to be a prototype to come and colonize before that could manifest. Am I making sense? So before you can see this big blessing, a little thing had to come and prototype it. Watch what happens. So God puts a man in the city of Lorraine. His name is Louis Kayton. He comes in with this vision. He's ready to like stir everyone out up. He comes in and he does things that this city had never seen before. Right? I mean, goodness sake, Lorraine, Elyria. I'm from Ohio. I understand how insignificant the area is. I'm being honest. That sounds funny. But unless God did something in this area was nothing. Had no significance. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this man comes, changing the thinking of people. You don't have an airport. You don't have a decent hotel. You don't have a Walmart. You don't have all of these things. You're following this? And some of y'all from Lorraine, y'all should be saying something. You know good and well, there was hardly nothing going on in this area. And then all of a sudden, God has his eyes on Lorraine. He looks at Lorraine and says, I want to put myself there.
Yes.
However, I can't leave this seat because I'm God. So what I'm going to do is send Lewis down there to handle. Watch this. I'm going to send him to colonize that area with my thought for that area. Yes. And he'll present the prototype of what I want to do in big. You didn't hear it. It's what I want to do in big. It's not what I want to do in little that just lasts for 30 years. It's what I want to do in big. Let me explain something to you. Y'all making me work real hard tonight. But I'm good with it. Watch this. You remember Adam? Adam was where? In the Garden of
Eden.
And while in the Garden of Eden, he was up. He was given this piece of property to work it, right? Right? He was working this little piece of property. And he was only working this piece of property for a little season. That season was supposed to cause him to expand dimensionally. What he does, I need you to hear something. The thorns and thistles were always there. Hear me, the thorns and thistles were always there. Not in the garden, on the outside of the garden. And what Adam's job was to do was to multiply and expand dimensionally. He was supposed to keep expanding till he had taken over the entire earth. So when we were supposed to be born, technically, we were supposed to be born in an expanded Garden of Eden. Are you catching this?
Yes.
See, what God gave Adam was a prototype what Adam was supposed to make happen in big. But because he messed up, he got thrown out into the place that was supposed to be expanded, and all the thorns and thistles were supposed to kind of work their way out as all the glory of the garden was supposed to expand itself. Am I making sense? This is what is going on today. When apostles come on the scene, they present a prototype so that you can end up being the Cadillac Escalade. No, you didn't catch that. Wait a minute. Let me get you to understand this. The Chevy Blazer, you had to roll down the windows like this. The Chevy Blazer, you turned the heat on with a knob and you went all this kind of stuff. But on the Cadillac Escalade, you got this screen that talks to you, because I have one and I like it. And you press the button and you tell it you want to go to a certain place. Or you just press the OnStar button, Leon. And then all of a sudden it says, you know, where do you want to go or what do you need? They talk to you, real person. And they'll give you turn by turn instructions. This Chevy Blazer didn't have all of that. What God wanted for you is for you to become the Cadillac. But he wanted him to be the Blazer that brought you to your Cadillac-ness. To bring you to your full stature, so that while we're riding on the road, there won't be freak accidents, because we have now been colonized with prototypes that introduce heavier equipment. You're supposed to be the heavier equipment. That's what his job was. That's what he did. So when he came to Lorraine, he brought something new. Everybody say new.
New.
He brought a new thing. This building is a fabulous building. I looked over there. I say, that building next door. And then the guy told me, Tom, I think he told me, the building, two buildings over, belonged to the ministry. With a gym, you know, and school classrooms and all of this kind of stuff. And wouldn't it be a waste, listen, wouldn't it be a waste to start singing the songs of yesterday? Wouldn't it be a waste to start singing the songs of yesterday? And start saying, oh, our days back in those days were really good. That building was full. I mean, we had kids running all around. And right now, you know, it's just a big old empty space. But, you know, maybe one day God will show up again. You know what God will do? Please hear me. I want you to hear this for real. I am here apostolically. I love you, but I am not here to be your friend today. I'm here to tell you the truth, okay? Whatever needs to be corrected, you have a great man of God. He'll fix it. Okay? But watch this. If you're not careful, you will lose the greatness of this man of God. I've seen it happen. Well, let's look at Bishop Jakes for a second. While Bishop Jakes was in the mountains of Virginia, he was so disrespected. But all of a sudden, Bishop Jake says that God spoke to him, and he gets up, he moves to Dallas, and when he gets to Dallas, everything else is history. I've never seen the church empty. He had to build. I went to the one when it was 5,000. I went to the one now that's 8,000 seats. He had to build one because the 5,000 seat filled up so quickly, because he was appreciated for what he brought to that area. Would you guys like to lose the gift of God because you won't let it produce you to a higher place? So for some reason, we think that our leaders are supposed to just follow behind us and stay at the hospital when our family is sick and all this kind of stuff. No. It is the purpose of an apostle and a prophet and a teacher. They're to teach you how to be equipped so that you don't need them. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Let's back up with the. Let's go back to Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians, and he says this. Remember, I told you I want you to keep that word "till" in mind. Keep that word "till" in mind. You know why? He says, "Until we what? All come into what? Unity of the till." Say "till." Somebody tell me what "till" means. I'll tell you. You don't have to. But what it means is this. It means when you have got it done, there's an ending date. That's what until means. Until means there's an ending date. You hear? So the reason for the five ministry gifts is to get you to a place of maturity so that they can disappear. Because once you mature, And once you come into the unity of the faith, then guess what? You will begin to carry out your fullest potential. You hearing me? See, most ministries have made you so church dependent. And you don't need to be church dependent. What I mean by that, I don't mean that you don't come to church. What I mean is you get offended by everything that happens in church. Somebody don't speak to you. You're hurt. Oh, I'm so hurt. The people of God are supposed to be the people that love me. But they don't love me anymore. I'm not going back there because they're mean and evil at their church. And they didn't even see you. They didn't even see you. And then all of a sudden, there's this immaturity factor that just stays in our bones. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And God is saying, I don't want you to be immature. Pastor, I've been to the hospital in my time of pastoring the church. I've been to the hospital twice. And I tell the people at church, I'm apostolic, I'm prophetic. I don't even like the hospital. That's the real truth of the matter. You know, the real truth of the matter, I just don't even like the hospital. So I guess I don't qualify at some of these churches because, you know, if they wanted me to come and they tell me your job's going to be going to the hospital all the time, I can't do it. Y'all forgive me. Pray for me. I need prayer. But watch this. Here's the real truth of the matter. It's not my job to be at the hospital all the time. You know what my job is? My job is to teach you how to have some power in your life that's equal and greater than my power. That's what Jesus did. That's all Jesus did. Every time he taught the guys, he taught them how to do what at least what he was doing and greater. Did you hear that? That's all he did. He taught them how to do at least what he did and greater. And he kept pointing to greater. He kept saying, you will do greater. He kept pointing to a higher place for them. He never said, you're going to be less than me. Never one time do you see where Jesus sat there and tried to make himself higher than everybody else. He said, you're going to do this and be better than me. But we don't see it that way, because even in our testimony. Somebody will say, well, you know, Jesus would have did this. And you say, but I'm not Jesus. I'm going to cuss you out because I ain't Jesus. Y'all know it's the truth. Don't act all religious up in here. Some of you cussed today. I ain't going to call you out. But you know it's the truth. And some, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. Can I be transparent with y'all? Can I be very transparent? Just yesterday, Pastor, I was getting in my car, going to the airport. I got behind a guy. He was doing about 20 miles an hour. And then he went down to 15 because he knew that I was in a hurry. I'm trying to get to the airport. Steve was with me. I'm telling the truth. And so I decide, no need to fight. I'm just going to go around the guy. My car is strong enough. Just go around him. Well, the guy tries to run me off the road. Now, what y'all need to understand is I'm from Youngstown. I told y'all to let me be transparent. Can I be transparent some more? Y'all, because y'all like, I want to hear this. Uh-huh. So watch. I take off, because y'all know that little mafia mentality, you know, pray. I told y'all to pray. And so I get in the car, and he tries to run me off. Louis, he's trying to run me off in my truck, my Escalade. And I'm late for the airport, which means if he scratch up my car, it's going to be worse than on. You understand what I mean? He scratch up my car. I'm talking to y'all from the flesh right now. I'm telling you from the flesh. This was a flesh moment. And so he tries to run me off the road. Okay? And then not only did he try to run me off the road, you got a great call on your life. You have a great call on your life. Who are you? This your boy? Come here. The generations await you. Come here. You're a prophet, sir. There's a great prophetic anointing on your life. And you're going to bridge the gap. Says God, you're going to bridge the gap. You're going to close the gap. Great healing shall take place from you. And God says, I'm healing your heart in broken places that people don't even know about. Just little places that you wish certain things would happen. Even though you got a lot going for you, there are some things that God says I'm going to do for you in these days to come and make clear for you. Sir, you are going to be a great anointed young man. Great inheritance for you. Great inheritance for you. Great inheritance for you, says the Spirit of the Lord. It's some significant oil on his life. It's a great inheritance for his life. In the name of Jesus. You're going great places, son. You're going great places. And there's music inside of you. Is this the one you told me in the back play music? Yeah, there's great music. There's work songs. There's songs for the generations inside of you. Raise your hands. There are songs for the generations and for the nations inside of you. Songs for the nations inside of you. Take a deep breath and receive this anointing. There are songs for the nations inside of you. Everybody say, go for the nations. All right. Anyhow, so I'm riding down the street. And this guy shows up, he's going to run me over. And guess what I do? I go around him, and my instinct, my Youngstown instinct comes in. I pop my car in park, unbuckle my seatbelt, because I'm ready to get out and bust his window and drag him out the car. That's the flesh. That was yesterday. And y'all don't want to admit that you cussed today. But what happened is, I had to grow up in that moment. Steve says, wait a minute, Pastor, wait. He stopped me. It wasn't that I was going to lose my salvation, I was going to lose my witness. And I had to come to a point where I remembered who I was. Anybody with me? See, if I didn't have an apostle to be a prototype, I probably wouldn't even care. I probably would have lost it. I don't even know why that happened. Because normally I just keep on going because it don't matter. But for somebody tonight, that testimony was very relevant. Everybody say, it's time to grow up. I'm going to pull this in, okay? Everybody say, it's time to grow up. I'm going to tell church on the North Coast, this location, God will breathe on you again. Let me tell you again. God said he will breathe on you again. But he says he will not breathe where he's not desired. He says, I want you hungry again. Is there anybody hungry? I watched your pastor over the past couple days, and I was just praying because, you know, getting to know people is not, you know, it's not easy to do. And I've watched him, how he relate to the people and how he relate to you guys and how he loves you. Last time I was here, I saw him. He fell on the floor. He's crying out to God with you. He's in worship. He loved the people. I seen his wife. She carries this grace. And all they keep doing is, watch this, they keep going higher. And it keeps causing their age to diminish, if you understand what I mean. Their age can't catch up with the glory that's on their life. So they keep creating. That's what God does. God is Ancient of Days. And they just found new galaxies recently. He just don't stop because he's Elohim. It's in his nature. Just keep creating. So new stuff go keep showing up. Because God is the creator. Are you here?
Yes.
And when you got somebody who ain't quit and ain't giving up, new stuff go keep coming up. And you know what you got to do? Just like we discovered, when they discovered those new galaxies, we embraced it. You got to be like, I embrace this. Everybody, are you ready to embrace the new? Because I need you to understand what was new 32 years ago is not new today. What God is doing for this church is he wants to make this a base and an example, a prototype for people to see all over the world that God can do big things in insignificant places. Do you hear me? He wants the world to know he can do big things in insignificant places. He told me on the way in that the Walmart over across the street used to be property belonging to the church. Okay, guess what? They couldn't get it until the church released it. You did not hear me. There are things that are supposed to happen around here that enhances economy, but it can't happen until the church is in place to release certain things. That's why you're here. You're not an insignificant people. You are people God has chosen. And it is bad. It will be bad for you to not get the benefits of what happens. Are you here? There are hotels that need to rise up. They will rise up when people start saying, I got to get there because of church on the North Coast. West, right? Y'all don't understand. John Kilpatrick, the church Brownsville Assembly of God down there in Pensacola, Florida, that big move of God that went on for several years. Do y'all know that they didn't have hotels? Do you know when that move of God took place, they had to expand the airport because people were flying in. Apostle David Young Icho had wanted to, he rented a whole plane to bring, a big old plane to bring a lot of people from China in, or from Korea into that place, and they had to expand the airport for him because they were coming to a move of God. Y'all don't hear me. There's a move of God. God says, I'll breathe, but you gotta want my breath. It's like, do you really want it? Hotels, they have hotels now that were never slated to come to that city. But because of the move of God, they had to build hotels so that people can have some place to sleep. Do you know that you can be the ones when they say we need a hotel in this city, that you can be the ones that say, I have a vision for a hotel. I'll be the one for the hotel building. But what happens is sometimes because you won't accept the colonization process, because God won't force you into anything, it puts us in a position to where we have to miss it. Now, I'm going to stop, but I really want to know, seriously. Tonight I'm here because God told me, he says, tonight I'm sending you here for the Kayetans. He said, I'm sending you here to hold up their arms. And Pastor Kayetan did not tell me to say any of this. He didn't tell me to say anything like this. Trust me, he didn't. But God told me to tell you to make a new commitment tonight. I'll prophesy in a second, and somebody will get healed in a second. But that's not the important part of this meeting. The important part of this meeting is that his hands and that her hands get held up. Are you here?
Yes.
So God told me to ask several of you to make a new commitment tonight. In fact, it's really for all of you. But since I'm being realistic, I know everybody's not going to make a new commitment. But if the ones that have to make the new commitment make the new commitment, you'll see God move in this place again. Now, it's not like he's not moving because, see, sometimes we get too comfortable with a move And then all of a sudden we find out that the move of God, gifts can happen without sincerity. Gifts can happen without commitment. So people can come in and get healed, but that don't mean the whole ship is moving. Like you can go and the ship will be in water, but that don't mean it's in the water. It's right there at the shore. How about it can only do certain things until when it gets out in the real water? You get what I mean? So, I don't know who the leaders are. I don't know who nobody is right now. But I'm going to tell you what God told me. He says, open the altar for a good 2 minutes. And he says, call the leaders and everybody else who know that you've been a little slack and that you know you've been a little lazy and just kind of lethargic and apathetic about where you are in this church. And you even didn't notice it until tonight. He said, come, tell them to come to the altar. I'm not trying to pray for everybody. I just come to the altar, release it. Make a new commitment to God and then go back to your seat. I'm open the altar right now. For those of you who know this is God speaking to you, please come do it right now. No, just come. No formal nothing.
So you can feel it. I open my heart so you can redeem my thoughts, my will, my thoughts, my will, my thoughts, my will, my thoughts, my will, my thoughts, my
standing here, the Lord told me, he said, some people didn't quite hear what you said. You heard me, but you didn't hear what his requirement was. And some of you thought, like, I can make this commitment right here. But God says, I want the altar. I want you to take advantage of the altar tonight. I know it sounds, maybe you might feel it sounds religious or whatever, but get up and out of your seat if you know you need to make that new commitment. Get up out your seat and just come. You don't have to stay here a long time. Just drop it. There you go. Here you come. Again, Timbo.
Show me my heart, Lord. Show me my heart, 'cause my thoughts, my will, my thoughts, my will, my all of my will is yours. space, God. I'm ready for the now, Lord. I'm making space in my thoughts, my will, my thoughts, my will. From sacrifice to obedience, my thoughts and will submits to you, God, submits to you.
Yeah, I hear the word of the Lord. Thank you, Leon. It says, keep on. But it says, my thoughts and my will. Then he says, from the mission, if you come under submission to the mission, which we call vision, if you come under it, then you won't perish. Because without a vision, what? People perish. And what it means is they cast off restraint. They have nothing to discipline their life. They have nothing to lead them into green pastures. And so you think you're anointed and you'll go out and be prophet this and so and so this. But until you come under submission, you cannot move into the authority of these giftings and these anointings. And then you begin to operate in rebellion. And when you operate in rebellion, you come into witchcraft. Those are extreme opposites of submission. And it is antichrist. It is against the will of God. And that's why God tonight gives you opportunity. Listen to me. He gives you opportunity to lay it on the altar and take nothing back home with you. Everybody, I want you to hear this again. This is a new day. It's a new day for you. It's a new opportunity. It's a fresh wind that God says, I'll blow in this house. And when he blows in this house, he's also blowing in your house. You hear this? He's also blowing in your house. Your house becomes his house because there's agreement. Everybody hear me? Agreement. Everybody say agreement. And I want to say this. I need you to catch this. Moses went up to the mountain and the glory of God hit Moses so hard that when he came down, he had glory on him. Right? And what did he do to protect the people? He covered his face. Listen to me. That was the worst thing Moses could have ever done. He should have unveiled himself. He should have let the glory hit him. He was concerned it would kill him. I believe that would have been in the perfect will of God. Because what it would have killed was their flesh. And it would cause them to encounter God's glory also. Don't push Pastor Kayton to have to cover up his face to protect you. Because there are a people who want to see the glory.
Yeah.
Right. Amen? God always uses a man. Whenever he want to bless you, he'll use a man. Whenever Satan want to curse, mess your life up, he'll use a man. Not a female man or a male man alone. A man. One man or man. Amen?
Amen.
So change your mindset tonight. Everybody, you ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Say, we're going into a new place. And I want you to honor, listen. You have to come into a place of honoring the gift of God in your leader. He doesn't require things from you. You don't have to call him apostle. You call him pastor. He's an apostle 100% of the way. You understand? He don't tell you you got to give him money every week. Right? He does. He goes over and beyond. Wouldn't you agree? He's out planting a church and it's growing well, but he's here with no issue, still 100%. He come in just as early here as he met me last night. You don't have that happening all over. And he's creating culture according to need. So there's a different need there than there is here. But right now, I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, it's time for you to arise. Trust me, it's time for you to arise. You're a special people. God has chosen you. You are a wonderfully special people. Put your hand on your heart and say, I am special.
I am special.
I am special.
Say it.
I am special. Yes, God's hand is on you. His glory is, he wants to reveal his glory so he can share his glory. Get the CD from last night. He wants to share his glory with you. He wants to put his essence on you. But he always does it through a man. Pastor Kayaton did not tell me to say this. Amen?
Amen.
Now let me minister. You, young lady, what's your name?
Carlene.
Carlene, come stand here. Put your hands up in the air. Are you from this area? Okay, Carlene. I see God doing some things in your life right now. Okay? Some things are very uncomfortable. You're in a place of great discomfort. It's like you said to yourself, this is the worst state I've ever been in. I haven't been here before. I don't know, and I don't know how to get out of this place. And you know what? God told me he's shaking up and breaking up everything. And he's almost, you're almost in a place of such uncertainty until you don't know what to do. And you, all you know now is to give up everything to God. And God says, I'm going to meet you in the days to come. He says, I'm going to meet you, I'm going to meet your faith, and I'm going to exceed your expectation. Did you hear that? He says, I'm going to meet your faith, and I'm going to exceed your expectation. Also, the Lord told me to tell you that he's not mad at you, because you felt like he's mad at you, and like you're in a state of, like some things that happened in the past has caught up with you, and that he's just angry with you, and that you got to do all these things of penitence to just come and see his face and get his glory and all this. God say, I'm not mad at you. He said, you didn't make a mistake too big that I didn't cover up with the blood and my love. You hear me? He says, in fact, God says, I am so in love with you. You got to hear me. I'm going to talk to you. Okay. You ready? He says, I'm so in love with you. He says, I've seen you change over the past year and 6 months. He says, your whole thought process has changed and you've drawn closer to me. And now he says, I know. He says, and I'm so proud of you. That's what God says. He says, I'm proud of you. He says, you didn't let, there was a death that took place or something in your life, some kind of death, like a death to a relationship that took place. Am I making sense to you? Okay, and he says that you could have acted a certain way, but you didn't. And you think, maybe I should have. And God said, no, Carlene. He says, you did well. He says, you had a lesson in maturity. And he says, now I know I can trust you with me, with my grace and levels of my anointing that you have just only dreamed of. You hear me? God says, so prepare yourself, for in the days to come, not only am I transitioning your financial state, because you're going into a brand new financial state, okay? It seems like you're going to get a new position or a new job or promotion. Something new is going to happen in your life that's going to blow your mind. You're going to go from one, in fact, you're going to be able to switch zip codes pretty soon. You understand? Because you don't feel comfortable where you're living now. And God says, I'm going to help it so that you switch zip codes even. And he says, it's always going to be better. It's always going to be better. And you ask God, do I have to be alone forever? He says, It won't be long now. Everybody say, it won't be long now. Praise God. Sometimes you just got to praise God for somebody else. I don't even have a word for you, but I'm gonna have a word for you in a second, because I saw you rejoicing and God told me to come rejoice with you by giving you a word. Sir, stand up. Yes, you. Walk this way. Okay, I hear the Lord saying, son, and he called you son, he said this. He did. He says that there is something new happening in your life. It seems like every 10 years you go through something new. Something new just stir up inside of you. I don't know how long you've been saved. It doesn't seem like you've been like this whole church guy for the rest of all of your life. But it seemed like God did some things in your life, transitioned you, took you from a hardcore this man type of man, possibly even racist or so. Just not racist, but just, you know what I'm trying to say? And now you're just you're falling in love with his people more and more every day. And it's like you're seeing this and you're going from one place to a new place. You understand what I'm saying? And he says, I'm going to show you how to show young people who are crazy in their minds today. For real. He says, I'm going to show you how to get them healed from all these stupid things. And you're going to be able to do it in 5 minutes. What took you 20 years is going to take you 5 minutes to do it in their lives. You hear me? In fact, he says, you have a new appreciation for everything around you now. Your family, your wife, your children, everything has another level of significance now. And he says, I'm doing this in your life because you ask me to keep showing up in your life. You say, God, I need you. I need something new. I need you to do this here. And God just keeps doing it. You hear me? Now, your latest prayer has been that God would heal your wife. Uh-huh. And so what God is saying right now is that I'm healing her body. Now watch this. He says, I'm putting strength in her life, in her body, and she's not going to fear death anymore. Okay? No more fear of death. So you must be the wife. God says, listen to me, honey. Hold on, everybody. Let me get to her. Let me minister to her. Ho. Wait, hug her in a second. Hold on. Wait a second. Let me flow with this, okay? Listen, look at me, sweetheart. God says, don't fear that you're going to be gone soon. You're not going anywhere. Okay, listen to me. Shh. The reason why I'm telling you this is because you have tried to plan some getaways and some vacations, but this physical thing just keeps trying to come in. God says, don't worry about it. Get away and enjoy this time of your life. Because you're saying this is supposed to be a good time. And God says, it shall be a good time. Now, there's some things God is doing in the back of your legs on down through your knees and your ankles. Okay? Am I making sense to you? Okay. He's doing some things. It's like back in here and up in this waist area into your back. You hear me? And was that you? That was you standing here. And you didn't want to get on your knees because you didn't know what to do with that. You didn't know if you'd be able to get up. Okay? Listen, you like to pray on your knees, but you haven't been able to do that because you've been struggling. God told me to tell you, get a pillow because your knees are going to be your resting place again. You're going to be able to pray once more on your knees. Because God said, I've heard you pray. And he says, I've heard you pray for the nations. I've heard you pray for black people, for white people, Hispanic people. And you pray, God, bring us together as one. You didn't even know how to pray it. All you knew is to pray, God, bring us together as one. And you've prayed for your husband and you've prayed for your children and all of these kinds of things. Guess what? God says, I'm answering your prayer. Not only am I answering your prayer that you've seen come to pass, he says, there is some more prayer that you've been praying even in that area. And you say, God, even around the elections, you've been praying, God, I don't want this spiritual, this kind of war, this racist war to break out. And God says, woman, I hear you. He says, woman of God, I hear you. He says, I hear you. And you're about to experience his power in a new way. He says, you've been praying for the president. When everybody think you should be doing something else, you've been praying for our president, President Obama. And God says, I'm hearing your prayer for this man. You hear me? Because to you, it's not about this whole Democratic Republican thing right now. And it is shifting the atmosphere, even in your house. God is really touching your home. Okay, so y'all have new levels to increase in, okay?
Yes.
New levels to increase in, which means you got some more life to live.
Yes.
I said they got some more life to live. Come here. They got some more life to live. Everybody point your hands this way at this man of God. Because this represents something right here. In the name of Jesus, the power of God be released in you and even strengthen your body. A refreshing in your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can you take about 5-10 more minutes of this? Okay, just give me about, is that okay, Pastor? 5-10 more minutes? I just want to minister to a couple more people because I believe that there's a refreshing in your life. I'm done, sir. Thank you, George. God bless you. What's your name, sweetie? Yes. Janina? Stand up. How old are you? 25. Okay, for whatever reason, I keep seeing college. I don't think you finished college or so, and you're having a problem right now, but God is restoring those days and those times and those years. You have a baby? You don't have a baby? Okay, I see a baby. It must be in the future. Amen. Okay? No, listen to me. Listen. Now, the Lord just told me. He says, you will have a baby because some of the women in your family are struggling with sickness in their body, hindering that from happening. He says, but you will deliver. You hear me? You're not going to have that issue. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And the other thing God says, I'm going to help you complete college. He says, because I'm going to open the doors for you to get the financing that you need. Okay. He says, so go for it. Go for it again. Go after it. Run hard after it. He says, because this is your life. You have a career in front of you. And he says, I'm not going to have you working for people a long time because it's for you to start your own companies. I didn't say company. I said companies. Amen? I love kids. They get away with murder, don't they? Promise, come here. Promise, you have such a significant gift and a calling on your life. Until it's almost scary, okay? What Darlene Check has on her, yours is 3 times greater. You hear me? Okay, so you get prepared. You get prepared because you're going to, every time they think they're preparing you for not one thing, you're going to go into something else. You hear me? You're unpredictable. You're highly unpredictable. You're a submitted, humble, highly unpredictable person. Nobody really knows what to do with you. But you sit back and you allow them to think they're leading you into green pastures. And before you know it, you're leading the people. You understand? Am I making sense to you? And then they say, wow, I didn't know this. And it's always a wow, I didn't know this was coming. It's always a shock. But God says, I'm going to take people and I'm going to keep shocking them well into your 50s, 60s, and 70s. He says, because I'm putting an apostolic grace upon your life. You hear me? Apostolic music, apostolic worship. The world is going to receive from you, and the church is going to receive from you. Let me tell you something, okay? Pay me attention. He says, don't be afraid to write songs for the secular world. He says, your worship belongs to me. But these songs will draw their hearts to me. He says, so I'm going to call you in both realms. You're not going to do the thing that drives the world crazy. You're going to bring the world to a stable place. And when they get there, they're going to find Jesus. You hear me? He says, because every environment you produce is going to be a Jesus environment. You hear me? And this is so powerful because the days are going to come as you travel, because you will. You will travel, you will write songs, and you will preach the gospel. Okay? You will lay hands on the sick. all over the place and they'll recover. You're going to have a weird type of anointing. It's going to be a type of anointing like a Catherine Kuhlman, kind of Michael Jackson kind of. No, don't laugh. Seriously. Michael Jackson was very significant to the world. We just didn't know how to handle him. We didn't know what to do with him. And so we were not able to pull him in to where he fulfilled the fullest of his destiny. Okay, so you're going to have this Darlene Check, Catherine Kuhlman kind of Michael Jackson-ish kind of thing going on. And it's not just the dancing, it's the effectiveness of your anointing. Do you hear what I'm saying? And as you begin to release sounds, they're going to have these questions. These are going to be some of the questions. Is she white? Is she black? What is she? They're going to say, how old is this kid? These are questions they're going to ask. Where does she come from? And they're going to say, like, what we would say, like a Melchizedek anointing. She comes from some place that we've never seen. And God says, it's happening this way because when you were 6, 7, and 8, you frequently visited the heavens. You know what heaven sounds like. Your biggest problem has been translating what you heard into where we are now. Am I right? And God says, you're going to become like a conduit very soon, that there will be nothing blocking the flow. You hear me? And he says he's giving you wisdom so that you can tell them the direction you're supposed to go. Okay? They're not going to shape your future. You're going to help them help you get to your future. Does this make sense to you? It makes a lot of sense? Okay. Because it don't make a lot of sense to me. It's not supposed to. It makes sense to you. Father, I thank you. Because her eyes shall see, her ears shall hear, and her mouth shall release. So I put a shield around her. Around her body, around her mind. And I declare the utmost protection over her life. Nothing shall by any means harm her. In the name of Jesus. She goes from one place and she leads the people from that place to the next place. In Jesus' name. And she shall never have a day that she feels like she's by herself. No more of those days. In Jesus' name. Okay, the thing that I'm going to tell you, promise, you've been, promise, stand up. You've been praying for a revival for your church, for the young people in your church. You've been really praying. And you've been praying for your dad, for something to happen. Some things are going to happen. It's not very far away. Probably in the next 30 days, you're going to see what you've been asking for. Some things are going to trigger just like that. You hear me? You receive that? Amen. Everybody, bless the Lord for promise. I'm going to do this. There is a couple in here, and I don't want you to be embarrassed. I've been doing this. The Lord has touched me on this recently, and this is what I want you to do. You are having a hard time. You're a couple. You really don't know how you're going to make it. It's not just one. It's two. You don't know how you're going to make it, but you've just been pushing through, and you need to know that you can push through to this next place. I want you that you're in here. Grab your wife by the hand and come up here. Let me pray for you. There you go. I'm glad you obeyed. You know why? Because I knew it was you. Do you remember? I just looked over there at y'all and I said, I'm just going to call it out. Now, here's the deal. God says, because y'all stepped up on it. He says he's positioning you. Y'all don't even know where to get counseling from because everybody's giving you some bad advice. There's some weird advice going on. But God says, I'm going to stabilize your home. I'm healing your family, and I'm taking you into a place to where you're going to see victory, okay? You belong to this church? No? What church you belong to? Wilford Avenue, Church of God in Christ. Good, good, good. I'm not making fun. I'm Kojic. Huh? Yeah, I grew up Kojic, rather. You understand? But God says, I'm coming into your life. And I don't know what God... What brought y'all here tonight? You come here on Thursdays. Oh, y'all just digging for more God, as much God as you can get, huh? Because I keep hearing God say that your healing is going to take place right in here. Okay? I'm just not promoting pastor. It's an atmosphere of healing, okay? And for whatever reason, have y'all been doing this for the past 6 months, right? Just coming here for the past about 6 months? Okay? Huh? A little longer? Well, God says, I'm doing this for your lives. You hear me? He's healing you. Let me see your hands. Father, I reunite them in spirit. And I declare that they grow and that they find you, that every need gets met, that they come back around and be back together strong again in the name of Jesus. Now touch their life. Put that fresh fire on them again. In Jesus' name, a fresh fire upon their life. Your marriage is going to work. It's going to work. What do you do for a living? You're looking for a job. Okay, here's what the Lord told me, because I knew you were not employed or something was going on financially. And it's really bearing down on you. It's beating you until you're like feeling like so insignificant and nothing. Amen? And it's causing you to make some bad decisions, which is affecting your marriage. Okay? I'm not beating you up. Don't get beat up by this, because you needed to know this is what's going on. But God says, son, don't let another day of guilt come upon you. He says, this thing that happened is totally released from your life. Okay? And he says, you won't have to go backwards. He says, keep your eye forward. He says, I moved you to take you into something new. Okay? This is a new day for you. Okay? He said, just get forgiveness. He said this, not from me, but by everybody that's being affected by your hurt and pain in this season. Okay? You are a man. I'm reaffirming you. You are a good man. And you will come up out of the ashes. You feel like every single time things start going good, you get hit. Like you just not go ever have nothing good. But I rebuke that thought from your mind. I cancel it. I call it null and void. And I command you to be totally set free from it. You hear me? Totally set free from it, okay? Totally set free from it. You're a great man. You're a great man of God. You really are. I don't know what you do. You ain't got no job right now? You don't? You live here? You go to this church? What church you go to? Okay. It's a lot of visitors tonight. Well, that's a blessing. People come. I like that. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you an idea. Okay? Get up every day like you're going to work. Tell your pastor, you come into the church and you go do something around the church every day. Okay? Tell you get a job, just get up, go vacuum the floor till the lines are like the lawnmower in the grass. You know, whatever. Just give it a full 4-hour day. Spend 4 hours looking for a job, spend 4 hours working a job. Okay? You hear me? Just build yourself back up again. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Lord is God. Do you hear me? You got to strength. It means he strengthened himself. It means he went into a workout regimen, is what he meant. It's like, you play football or anything? You play any sports when you? Yeah, I understand. But I'll heal you. We'll get you back healed in a second, okay? Okay, then get ready to play sports again. Well, I don't like stuff like that. But here it is. When you played sports, right, you had to work out, didn't you? And in order to get ready for a game, you had to get into the situation, right? You had to prepare for the next phase, right? That's what I want you to do. Get prepared for your new job. Okay? All right? You honey, you've been praying quite a bit because you've just been like, Lord, I just need you to do something. And God says, quit praying for him. And listen, he says, I want you to work on you in this season. Because he says, you have always took up the case of other people. And you haven't really considered you. Okay? I don't mean go buy new stuff. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, because you know, sometimes we hear that and we go buy new clothes and stuff. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you haven't considered what's going on in your own life. You haven't considered your pain. Okay? And you hear me? So God, even your body has been affected. Your health has been affected. And it's even got you in another place of concern. Okay? So God said, and you're saying, God, I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want to mess up the finances and I don't want to do this and all this kind of stuff. But you're going to get healed tonight too, okay? And you think you're under a curse. You think you're under some kind of family curse. And so you need to know that you're being freed of all that, just the thought of it, you know, just being released from that, and that this whole curse thing is illegal for your life and for your family, okay? It's being broken off your life. You hear me? You hear me? Both of you. Both of you. I don't know where your backgrounds are, what your backgrounds are and where you come from, but here's the deal. God says, tonight is the last night you cry over spilled milk, number one. This is the last night that you complain about nothing and look for the days of old. And this is the last night that you just don't focus on his promise for your life. You have had prophecies, you have had words come over your life, and it seemed like nothing has happened. But guess what? It's about to happen. Only thing is you have to find yourself in alignment. You got to get in alignment. Got to get in alignment. You hear me? I don't know. You know, it's a good thing that you come here because God says this is going to be a house that shows married people how to be healed. Okay? All right? So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray. Your back hurting now?
No.
Not hurting right now?
No.
Okay, don't look for it to hurt no more, okay? For real. No. Because after this, there won't be no more. It's not permitted in your life. You hear me? You hear me? You hear me? It's not permitted in your life. What's your wife's name?
Athena.
Athena. I don't quite understand this. I see a tattoo on you, but for whatever reason, it says you've been marked. Now, I don't think it's a tattoo. It's something that you got a mark somewhere or something, and it's like a sign. It shows you something all the time. It's like something that happened in your life before. Does that, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, and it's like you can't get away from it. Okay? God says, see that as a testimony that you got away from it, not that you can't get away from it. Okay? Okay? You're disconnected from that. And this is supposed to be a sign of a miracle that God got you out of it. You got me? Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, we bless him. Rebuke the hand of the enemy that has come to dominate their life. And we heal, we declare healing on their bodies, in their minds, and in their spirits, their person. In Jesus' name. Now, I release the fire of God upon them. And I declare that they shall hit this thing like coming off the tracks. And they shall take off and they shall finish strong. In the name of Jesus, we release your power upon their life now. Everybody, stretch your hand this way and let's just declare God's grace on them. God say, all is forgiven, all is well. And be strong. Can we bless God right now? Did you bless him?
Yes.
Do anybody thank God for this night?
Yes.
I want you to touch your neighbor and say, be healed.
Be healed.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be strong.
Be strong.
Be complete.
Be complete.
Say it. Say, be complete.
Be complete.
Somebody bring Louie to me. Where's Louie? Okay. I'm going to prophesy to him again without him being here. I don't know. Louis has a strong anointing for the nations. He has a strong anointing to release upon the people of other nations. And so there's a great grace upon him. He's going to start. There's a revivalist on him. That's what it is. He's got like a revivalist spirit. And everybody loves Louis.
Yes.
Just because he's lovable and he's slick and he's cool. And all of that, it's like Absalom, a good Absalom. That's who Louis is, a good Absalom. And so, Louis, I just declare the word over you that you begin to walk in the fullness of who you are, in the fullness of your stature, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we go bless the Lord. One more time, and I just want to hear you bless him. That's all. Everybody, just bless him. Just bless God at this moment. Come on, bless him a little more. Come on, let's bless him. Pastor, remember last night when I asked for ministers to come up and you said somebody missed the opportunity? There was one. And then she says, I had to come here tonight because I felt like I missed my opportunity last night. You hear me? It's a very interesting thing. And she said, I bought your series on Jezebel. Did you listen? I did. That was you. Got it. She said, I needed it. You know, you missed a moment. You didn't miss a moment. You gained a moment, okay? God says he's a God of mercy, okay? And this is what God told me to do. He told me, you belong to Valley View, right?
I just joined.
You just joined. He told me to tell you to stand before your pastors and let them lay hands on you. So go stand before them and be released from this thing. You get another chance, honey. Another chance. You get another chance.
How great thou art.
Are you an elder in this church? What do you do in this church? Music, come here, sir. You. Come here. God says I'm shifting you in the days to come. Get ready for the shift. Get ready for the shift. It's going to take about 6 months. But he says, humble yourself to the shift. Submit to the shift. Submit to the shift. Amen? Everybody, listen to me. I'm leaving, and Pastor said you get a chance to be a blessing to the ministry. I just want to encourage you that in these moments, they're very significant moments. Very significant. And let me tell you something. Do you know that your highest form of worship is your seed that you sow? That's your highest form of worship. And when you are obedient with that, God blesses your life significantly. Amen? And sometimes you have to be very submissive to a thing, because obedience, he'll say give $1 million, and you'll be like, God, I only got 1,999,000. And you have to be very submissive. But do it, because it connects you. Do anybody feel different tonight? Do you feel like you get a fresh start? Sow into that. Sow into that. Man, sir, every day is a training day. What do you do for a living? Okay, let me tell you what I saw. Listen to me. I saw God using you with young people in athletics. And God says there are young men who will call you father. They're in the ashes, but they need somebody to help them. And he says, I'm calling you out to be a voice to them. And it depends on how far you go with it. But there's a gym, there's all kinds of things with it that you are supposed to be a part of making that happen. Amen? You receive that? So, everybody tonight, I want you to prepare a seed that honors the moment, that honors God. You hear me? And it will bless you. I promise you. I promise you. Some of you can sow a $100 seed tonight, and you should. Some of you can sow a $1,000 seed tonight, and you should. You never know what triggers this thing. Now, Pastor, if you let me do one more thing. Listen to me, everybody, listen. Shh. God told me in the hotel room, and I had to figure out how to do this because I didn't want to seem like I was doing this for me. But God told me in the hotel room he wanted 12 people to sow a $1,000 seed in the next 30 days for this church, for the foundation of this church, to begin a fresh foundation in this church. I need 12 of you to move as quickly. Don't think about it. You know you can get it in 30 days. You will make a commitment, and somebody will write your names down and all this kind of stuff. But in the next 12 days, you're going to sow $1,000 for this ministry here. Okay? Next 30 days. I'm sorry. Next 30 days. Thank you, Pastor. In the next 30 days. I want to see who you are. Come on. Pastor is going to sow one. Who else? There are 12 of you. God told me to do it. There are 12 people. Just take the step. Who else? There are two or one together. You're together? Okay, so come here. Come. In the next 30 days, you're going to sow $1,000 to your ministry, CNC. Come. There's you in the blue, ma'am. You? That's right. Okay, come. Here you come. There's one, two, three, four. That means there are eight more. Eight more. I'm trying to tell you, I know I hear God at these moments. And there are eight more of you now. Come. You got 30 days. There are seven more. There are six more. There are six more. And you're here. I know you're here. God said you're here. There are five more. There are five more. My soul. And somebody said, listen, I heard you. You said, I want to do it. I just don't know that I can make a commitment within 30 days. God said, your heart connects to it. He will help you get seed to sow. He always gives seed to the sower. Okay? So make the move. Where am I? Five? It's four, three, two. Okay, one. I got it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. 12, okay? Within 30 days, you're going to have this in. So today is the 27th, so that means by October 27th, you will sow a $1,000 seed. God says, I am going to meet you. Now, somebody said, I missed my opportunity. God, somebody just said, I think I missed my opportunity. I should go. That's you? Come.
Yeah, because in Osprey,
sir?
The very same thing, Osprey. And the Lord said, there's 20.
He said, okay. You
same thing, exact thing. We need 20 people to sow $1,000.
Okay, pastor said he was praying the same thing. So I'm not doing this for a money thing. He said, we never even talked about this. Okay? And Leon is with me all the time, and I'm not going to abuse people for your money. Okay? And for me, to raise $20,000 and walk away, that's a big deal. Okay? For real. No, seriously. It's for this house. We need 20. So there's how many, Pastor? It's 13 here now. There should be 7 more. Turn his mic on.
The ministry, I was praying about this today. We have to have a $20,000 increase over our budget in the next 30 days.
Wow.
And I was praying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So we have to have that to make.
Okay, 13. Here comes 14. Who's number 15? Who's number 15? Somebody should write the names down. Oh, you got them? Who's number 15? Who are you? Huh?
They're shy.
They shy?
Let me get them, son.
Here come. Here they come. Here. 15, 16.
15. They're together.
That's number 16, right? 17.
Yeah, 17.
17. Okay, now the visitors are coming and sowing. Okay, the visitors are coming and sowing. You need, there are 3 more. 17, 18, 19, 20. 17. I was waiting for you. I don't know. Y'all married? You look like you're about 12. There's 2 more. There's 2 more. There's 2 more. I'm going to wait because this is God, and I'm just going to take another second. Here go 19. Amen. Is that Brother Louis? Brother Louis. 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 Brother Louis. Okay, one more. You, ma'am? 20 people.
That's it.
Everybody, let's bless God right now.
Praise God. Praise God.
I'm going to pray this over you because you took some steps, and some of you don't know how this is going to happen. You've taken some major steps right here. But God says over the next 30 days, you will have the seed to sow. Now, watch this. God says, I'm doing something in your life as well. That's why he's giving you the opportunity. You hear me? He's giving you the opportunity. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray the grace of God that this shall push them into a new dimension. Now, is she working? She is where? Huh? Okay. Y'all going to experience some increase very soon. Okay? Very soon. Some very powerful increase. You go testify and you're going to end up, somebody going to end up running over this floor because you just going to be excited. You hear me? Seriously. Some powerful things are going to happen. Look for increase. But God says, I wanted this seed to hit the ground first. Okay? This isn't like it's 20... It's not like it's 20 people up here who you can just write a check for $1,000. This is people who are trusting God in this season. Sir? I didn't hear you.
I don't have an income.
You don't have an income. But guess what? I trust God. You're going to trust God. You're going to have that $1,000 in this house. You hear me? You hear me? Pastor, God said there will be about 5 to 10 that'll sow on Sunday while I'm gone. He says, present it to the people. He says, and this Sunday, within 30 days, they'll be able to sow this seed. Y'all receive?
Yes.
Y'all ready for this?
Yes.
Make a commitment. Get you an envelope and write on there $1,000. Put your name on there and put within 30 days. Is that okay? And then what I want you to do, this is what God just told me to do. He said, give the envelope to Pastor. Pastor will keep the envelopes for a few days and pray over them. Okay? And God's going to lead him in some areas in there. You give them to him and watch what happens. Okay? Amen?